dun 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 dun
Do you want to hear what my cousin Shadi's Facebook update is?
Absolutely.
Today?
What is
wisdom she's dropped on us?
What is she sharing with the world today?
Wait, this is September 21st, so it's officially fall today. Now if our weather would just act like it. Tired of all this heat, and I just can't wait to wear sweaters and jeans. Smiley face.
That's such a chick like update. Only chicks do stuff like it. Now if it would just act like the weather would just act like it's supposed to act.
You know what I love about my cousin is that, and it's always like, it's the most banal minutia. Massage and lunch down at the beach with mom. And you're like, who wants to know this?
You know that that's the overwhelming majority of posts?
Yeah.
I think we have a critical eye for that because of, like, you know. Because
we're not really people.
Well, yeah, because we're damaged people. But because we are, you know, attempt to entertain people.
Yes.
That we see shit like that and you read people's thing and you're like when they're like, the fucking jacket doesn't fit the way it used to. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing, man?
I know. I guess because even when I share on Twitter, it's
rain. I don't like this. Yeah. And you're like, what? That's your post?
Right. I try to entertain. I try to be a little interesting. I mean, I hate sharing on Twitter, honestly. I don't even like Facebook, but this generation, I guess they love to share their fucking. Oh, school's out for summer. That's another one of her updates. I love it.
Oh, man.
Ay vey. Yeah, well, what can you do? She's happy. That's all that matters.
Yep. Well, folks, this episode of Your Mom's House is brought to you by Stamps.com. We gave you the full rundown last week, but we are huge supporters. Many of you, and I thank you, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, ordered...
From
the bottom, like the ankle part of our jeans. You ordered my CD. A lot of you downloaded it, but some of you bought the physical copy. And you'll notice that when you got that package at your home, it was printed, the poster's printed, stamps.com. We actually use it. So it's not just somebody being like, hey, will you read this shit? And we're going, yeah, okay. We have been using it. We used it before they became a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So that should tell you something. That we really believe in them. It's really easy to use. It simplifies your life. And you can ship any envelope, package, letter, anything from the convenience of your own house. I can't tell you how cool it is to not have to leave your house
for
to
any
get this
reason
done. And
ever.
You can even schedule a pickup so they'll come pick that shit up from your house.
And the software, it has free tracking.
That's
so
awesome too.
So you can
too.
See
yes.
where the package It's going, it's gone.
I've had to use that to verify, you know, people have been like, hey, where's my Top Dog shirt? Pull up the thing. I can tell them exactly like where when it's at the post office, when it left. It's awesome. So here is the offer.
Oh, sorry, you're going to give the offer. Go for it.
Yeah, the offer, it's pretty awesome. Right now you can do this. Go to stamps.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, there's a microphone. If you click on that, you type in the code word, which is mom. MOM, and you get a no risk trial for 4 weeks. So you get a whole month to try this out. It's a $110 offer. You get a digital scale and you get up to $55 in free postage. So basically you can try this out on your own. You can try the scale out. You can print out the postage right at your own home printer. They give you the sticker, you know.
The labels. And that's the thing, too, is they set you up when it comes to your house. I swear to God, it's the coolest thing. The scale is a tiny little thing, and they give you a little kit with the software disk and the labels, and you're all, the minute you log in, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else, and it's so easy. Even a bear can do it. Even this grizzly groucher with his paws instead of hands.
Yeah.
Has figured out how to use it.
It's true. Christina taught me. She bear trained me. She gave me treats after I did it right the first time.
I gave you marshmallow treats.
And I learned how to use stamps.com. So it's pretty awesome and it's pretty simple. The offer is great. You go to stamps.com. You type in mom when you click on the microphone. Or you can go to your mom's house podcast.com. And if you scroll down about midway, the middle section of the of the homepage. You look to the right there, you'll see the stamps.com banner we have there. If you click through that, it takes you to that page on stamps.com. It's a great offer, and we definitely are excited about them. So make sure you give them a shot.
Hey, Tom, you know what they should change the slogan to?
What's that?
Stamps.com. So easy, even a bear can use it.
See, that's not even, that's not the deal we made with them.
Why?
And it's offensive that you would do that.
Can I tell you how much fun it was when we talked to the stamps.com people and they told us the offer, and then they were like, so the offer code is going to be mom.
Oh, yeah.
And we laughed.
Yeah, we're on the phone with them, and they're like, and if you tell your listeners to type in mom, M-O-M, mom. It's so great to hear people say mom.
Yeah.
You know how many people have asked me, like, what's the story behind your mom's house?
Right.
Why do you name it that? And when I tell them, we're like, I'm like, we just thought it was stupid.
It's the dumbest thing we could think of.
To name something.
We literally sat at our kitchen table and we were like, what's the dumbest thing we could call our podcast?
Yeah. Your mom's house.
Your mom's house came out.
And I did have that joke. Remember when I showed you the joke book?
That's right.
And I had in the joke book one time.
Your old joke journal.
Open a hamburger stand.
Right.
Or a restaurant and name it your mom's house.
Right.
It was like years old. And the whole idea was just so you could play a stupid joke on your friend like you're in middle school.
Yeah.
And be like, where do you want to go eat? And be like, well, let's go to your mom's house. Just now, so you can get that dumb line out of your mouth.
But now it's become, it's a whole thing.
It's a
meme. It's a thing.
You're at your mom's house right now?
It's really funny.
So, yeah.
Do you know, I was in Peoria, and some mommies came. Thank you, mommies, so much for coming. Mm-hmm. And one of the mommies walks up to me and just whispers in my ear, I heard you were funny. And I almost pissed my pants.
We have the funniest listeners. That's
They're
why.
Awesome.
They are the funniest listeners.
Thank God.
And they are super generous. I can't tell you how cool it is to, you know, have your guys support, not just for the show, but everybody
in life,
but they got the album, they supported the album, and
of course
it's charting still after 2 weeks. It's pretty, you know, impressive.
It
you
charted.
Guys, it's totally because of you guys. So
I'm
real happy about that. Where are you going to be? Where can people see you?
All right. I'm going to be in Crackers in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Crackers Comedy Club, Broad Ripple, October 10th through 13th. If you're in the Indianapolis area, I know there's some mommies out there.
Maybe Minneapolis.
And I'm excited. And then after that, we're going to San Diego, October 19th through 20th, the Madhouse Comedy Club, buddy.
All right.
What about
man.
You, Tommy?
I'm going to be at Rumors. Comedy Club.
I heard you were funny.
In Winnipeg. Some of my dates might get switched around a little bit. Not switched, but I might not be doing the full run. I might do like basically a week and a half. So I was going to do October 9 through 20. I think it's going to be October 12 through 20.
Well, call the club, you guys, when in doubt. Call the club and make sure.
But I'm trying to give you the heads up that like I might not be there.
But ask
the first
and make sure time, because sometimes what the clubs do is they'll switch
it
your
gets
stuff
all,
around.
Yeah,
or
it gets all kind of wishy-washy. But that, I hope to see you guys in Winnipeg. You know I'm a huge fan, guys. I got my Jets hat. I'm going to fucking throw it on and rock it when I'm in Winnipeg.
Wait, Canada has football? What is the Jets?
Are you serious right now?
Are the Jets like, or what are they? Hockey?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they don't have other sports, right? They don't have like baseball and like American sports, right?
They do have baseball, and they do have Canadian football.
Mm, okay.
And they have curling.
Oh, yeah, I've seen
curling's
that before,
huge,
yeah.
Where else am I going to be? Oh, jeans. I'm going to be in Indy, Crackers, downtown, first weekend in November, November 1st through 3rd.
That's so cool.
And then later in the month, Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy Club on State, also in November, I believe the second or third weekend. I don't have my calendar.
Well, I'm going to the Atlanta Punchline November, too, if you're in Atlanta.
Well, why are you
doing
fucking,
November?
Why you got to be like
I
that?
I mean, if you're going to do November, it's like, well, I got to do two. It's not fair.
Well, I mean,
I'm just giving people a heads up. Warning.
That's the whole thing.
Atlanta Punchline.
You give dates. You give them the warning. I'm going to be...
Just look at
let's see. November 15 to 17, Comedy on State. Madison. All right. That's it.
Are you ready? That's business. Let's fucking do it, buddy.
Let's start the fucking show.
Yeah. Let's start the fucking show, right?
Fuck off.
Steven is not penitentiary material. Tim over here would be penitentiary material. You know? I mean, he tough enough. He ornery enough. Steven's not. They're going to know what you're there for, and the first thing they're going to do is go back and talk to a couple of their buddies, and they're going to say, we got a baby raper. You know? You ain't going to live unless you want to live. If you want to live, you're going to have to kill some people. Because I beat three or four of them half to death. I have seen their stomach cut wide open, and I've seen their guts spill on the floor. I've seen it. The man's in trouble. It's up to me. He's in trouble.
And why is it up to you?
Well, I'm running Aryan Brotherhood around here. I told Steve, you beat this case, I'll get you in. I'll get you in with me.
Get you in?
I'll get him in a brotherhood if he beats the case. I'll go in there and I'll talk to the niggers and I'll talk to the brotherhood. And it's up to this man. Okay? It's up to this man.
Well,
if you was to come to me personally and ask me for a favor, I'd make the call.
This shit is big time!
Who is Randy?
Don't bring anyone loving to this.
Your mom in the fucking stand!
Welcome to your mom's house. With Tom Segura. Tom
Segura. Christina Pajitsky. Christina
Pajitsky. Welcome to your mom's house.
I mean, you didn't think we'd run out of Stevie stuff, did you?
You know what I love is that people tweet us and they're like, I got Stevie and it wasn't as laugh out loud funny as you guys told me it would be.
It was
like,
really sad. One person was like, I got Stevie. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
It really is. That's why it's amusing. That scene's my favorite.
Scene's unbelievable.
If you can't put it together. So Stevie is about to go on trial for possibly from molesting kid.
One of his relatives,
right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So his buddy is hipping him to what might happen to him if he gets locked away.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got ties to the Aryan Brotherhood, and he could hook Stevie up if he beats the charges.
Yeah, that whole thing, if you beat the charges, is right. Like, he's saying, I'll get you in, like, if you're not found guilty.
Right.
Then he's also like, I could just go in there and talk to everybody. That's one way of saying
it. I'm sorry,
it.
Who?
Just everyone.
Specifically, but who is he going to talk to?
But like, there's different people. I'll just talk to everybody inside. And okay. There's different people there. Everybody
different
looks different.
Kinds.
Yeah, I just talk to everybody. And then I could, I guess, make sure you don't die. Mm-hmm. But he also was like, you got to be ready to kill some people. Like that.
That's
like,
the best strategy.
I love casual like talk like that when people are like, you got to be ready to kill somebody. You know what I mean? Like, are you ready to kill somebody? And you have to be like, yeah, I'm ready to kill somebody.
What do you think would happen to you if you went to, like, what would be your strategy for prison?
For prison?
Yeah. Oh,
fuck, man.
What would you do? Would you wife up? Would you?
No.
You can't really, I mean, you have to fight somebody early. Like, you got to get in and kick somebody's ass early.
Yeah, I would go for it. I would go for it, man. You just got to take your chances. Here's the thing is that even if you get your ass kicked,
yeah,
if you made an effort, people respect the fact that you didn't bitch out. So, you know, I'm kind of a big dude. I'd start, if I knew I was going to serve my time, start hitting those weights a little harder, and then just...
Like, to show your bear strength to the other bears. Like,
and then...
Look how hard I can hit this bag.
One of my friends got locked up once, and he was just like, first or second night in, you know, a little semi-circle formed, and he fought one of, like, the biggest guys there. And he said, I just got a lucky shot. Like, I just threw a shot... Hit him on the chin, knocked him out. Everybody was like, you're cool. No more problems.
Nobody messes with
you. But even if he had lost, they would have just been like, hey, you took a chance by fighting that big motherfucker.
Well, that's what I've learned watching Locked Up Abroad.
Yeah.
Like in the Turkish prisons, the really bad ones. Mm-hmm. You got to go in and show those motherfuckers that you ain't afraid of them.
You can't.
With a claw hammer.
I ain't afraid of them.
You ain't afraid of them. You got to go in there. And now the thing with women's prisons, totally different than men's.
Yeah.
In that you wife up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to basically pick a girl whose box you're okay with eating.
It's a different story.
Because they sit down, they braid each other's hair all day long. Yeah. Like you wife up quick.
Oh, yeah.
And me, I mean, I'm a little older, but I'm pretty good meat. You know what I mean?
You're blonde. Fantastic. What are you talking about?
I'm not a 10. Let's say I'm, you know, somewhere in the middle.
You're a 15.
Thanks, sweetie. You're married to me. But in prison terms, well, I'm definitely a prison 10.
What do you think you are in prison?
Well, I'm a prison 10 for sure.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm a prison 10. And I would have to find a woman that I'd be willing to go down on for the next few years. God damn,
big deal. Do it.
Yeah, but they don't shave their boxes in prison. Like, I'm sure that's they're hot. Not kept, you know?
I like that shit.
Could you imagine the smells?
Anyway. It does have to be the worst thing ever.
That's where I get my name Snake from. I ain't afraid of them. Never have been, except whenever I was a kid.
You know, that's
except
fine.
For when he was a kid.
I was a kid, but you can't faggot, you huh? can't hold that against me now.
Yeah.
Now I ain't afraid of him. he's such a piece of shit. But, yeah, so that was it was like a neighborhood dude who's basically telling Stevie. if you haven't seen Stevie, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, man.
What are you waiting
We've
for?
Given you all the fucking treats you could ask for, and, you know, you're still holding out. But anyways, yeah.
It's not a laugh-out-loud comedy, though. I hope... You know,
no.
don't expect to be like falling on the floor. It is a weird and
it's
sad
real life shit.
And real shit, yeah.
But it's real funny too.
Yeah, in a sad, like bizarro. Yeah,
sure, in a very sad bizarro.
Yeah.
But you're gonna watch it and be like, "Oh my god!"
You're just gonna be,
"Oh my god!" Seriously,
that's what you're gonna say when you see it.
You're gonna be thankful it's not your life. That's really
definitely
the foundation of.
Definitely.
Things. That's why you watch shit like Stevie. Is you're like, wow, I thought I had a bad.
Yeah,
I could
I don't
be
have
Stevie.
It so bad after all.
Now, where is he from? Where do they live?
I think Illinois, somewhere in Illinois.
That's
yeah.
so bananas.
I was just there,
and yeah. you don't think of it being that backwater, like in certain parts. It's really frightening.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, but parts of California are pretty backwater. You ever been like in between like Fresno and whatever other shitty town? That's
yeah.
not
there's some
Sacramento
there's
LA.
Some back. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to go that far north even.
Mm.
If you go, what's it called? A little bit north of here. Well, you have San Luis Obispo, right? That's
yeah.
a little north.
Bakersfield,
Bakersfield
sucks. That's, you know.
I did stand up there once. You ever done stand
yeah,
up there?
Yeah, I've done that. There used to be a hotel.
Yeah. a hotel gig.
That was a long Jesus time ago.
Christ.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
I can't believe how many shit gigs we've done.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable when you look back on it.
Isn't it a miracle that we persevered through
yeah.
all
that? You stuck through it?
You're like, why?
Absolutely, man.
Why? What is wrong with me?
This is I had to tell you this. So I was watching, not even like intentionally, like flipping through the channels, and I saw some Emmy recap thing about, you know, like all the, whoever won the awards. They were talking about Modern Family. And they showed, like, Sofia Vergara, you know, I want to fill her up and see her shut and everything.
Your stupid girlfriend.
And then I'm online, and I click through something, and it ends up on, it's, like, actually on CNN. Like, there was, like, a link to something about that. And I see the still of her, like, when they're in the audience, like, sitting, you know, like, at the actual award show. And the guy she's sitting next to looks vaguely familiar.
Okay.
I don't really, I just was like, oh, that looks, and I, it looks vaguely familiar to me. I keep, you know, I don't pay attention to it. I see some other thing about her. It's like one of those, you know, when like you read an article and then there's other links, like here's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that like she's engaged or something like that. So I was like, oh, she's engaged. I click on the link and I see that she's engaged to a guy I used to work for.
Shut the front door.
I used to work for him.
Who is it?
When I first came, well, it's well known now, so it's not like even a secret. His name is Nick Loeb. And when I first lived, when I first was here, my very first job was I was unpaid internship at Copelson Entertainment.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this gig. Yeah.
And I would just do script treatment stuff where I would just read tons of scripts, and then you write essentially a synopsis, and you tell the production company why something is good or bad. But you have to go in like pretty intense detail. You don't go like, this script sucks.
Right.
You have to break down why
it's like
sucks.
Writing a brief
yes.
on the thing.
And it's painful. It's fun sometimes to read the bad ones, and then it gets painful. Like once you've read like 15 bad scripts in one sit, you know, it's
wait,
like...
Wait, so you mean to tell me that... when they decide on scripts, it's because some lackey out of college who's working for free writes a summary.
No, not really. No, they just need, they want to have that in their database. So they're like, they have a complete database of like every script. And always the good ones, they don't just kind of like miss them. Those always come to the top.
Okay.
Everybody finds out about the great scripts. There's no like, oh, we've had this great script that everybody loved that nobody like.
Right. It great gets scripts. Known.
I remember when they had a good script come in and it was just like the talk in the office. And it ended up being this movie with Ashley Judd and what's his name? Morgan Freeman.
The Boner Collector?
The Boner Collector.
Yeah.
That's it. And it was about some like serial killer in San Francisco. I think she was a detective or something.
I remember
shit.
It. I've remember seen that, movie? That one, yeah.
When I was an intern, the girl that wrote that script, you know, it came in the office, and I remember we called her. I wasn't on the call, but the higher-ups called her and bought the script from her for $1 million. They gave her $1 million, and that was like, everybody was so, you know, I mean, it's an exciting thing to be around, like, yeah, we're buying this for $1 million.
That's cray.
But anyways, I worked there for a few months, unpaid, okay? And then it's the kind of thing where, you know, I told whoever, I forget, was a few steps ahead of me, but not like one of the executive vice presidents, hey, you know, I'm looking for work and stuff. And this guy hooked me up with a girl, and I worked for her for a little while. Then she referred me over. Oh, a girl that worked in the office knew a guy, hey, you might want to go.
Did you bang her?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You might want to go meet this guy. I go and interview, and it's Nick. And he's like, he was working as a producer in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, he was like, oh, here's the job, which is basically read scripts, do the same thing, but he would pay me. And he paid so shitty, such an unbelievably shitty wage, but it was money and I didn't have any money at all. And so I did it for him, and I used to go to his house, and then I would sit across from him, and we would do the, with him, I didn't just turn it in. I would give him the summary verbally, you know, and then turn it in as well. And then he asked me, he had me interview to be his personal assistant.
Oh boy.
And in the interview, I was like, well, what kind of shit do you think I'm going to be doing?
It's a terrible job.
And I remember in the interview, he was like, you know, because I was interested in doing business types, like this creative stuff. But he was like, you know, it might consist of like, you know, going and grabbing my dry cleaners and all this and stuff. And I was like, yeah I don't really want to do that, man. And he was like, really? And I was like, no, dude, I don't want to sit there. And I was like, is that the job you're offering? Like to be an assistant or to like work in this office, like on the business end of things? And he was like, well, it's kind of a mix of both. And I was like, I mean, I can't say that I'm too overjoyed about running errands. Like, I don't really want to be an errands guy. And he was like, okay. Like, he wasn't a dick about it at all. He left LA. Like, a few years later, he was just gone. Like, stopped doing it. And he popped up in Florida. And he was running for, like, Congress or something. Like, it was so bizarre.
It's bizarre.
And then, I think, you know, that didn't pan out for him. I know he comes from an extraordinarily wealthy family. And then the next time I see him, we've emailed a few times over the years.
So how weird.
I emailed him.
Did you tell him? Like, hey, I'd really want to fill up and seal shut your fiance.
No, I didn't mention that.
And our listeners really wanted to do that as well.
Our listeners absolutely want to seal her shut way more than other people. I didn't tell him that, but I did say congratulations on everything.
That's cool.
Including filling up your lady. And he wrote back and said, like, thanks, man. Aww. I didn't mention. But I thought it was pretty interesting that, you know, we've talked about filling it up and sealing shut this woman.
Yeah.
And then how funny is it, a man I work
now
for.
Now you have a connection to one of the people.
That's,
we actually know somebody that fills her up
and seals her shut all the time.
What a small world this is.
Very interesting.
You should really tell him the story.
Do you think he would be upset?
No.
You don't think? What if he listened to our segment and he was just like,
oh my God, you guys are so disgusting.
You know? What if he
never
said that?
That's so weird. What a small world.
Yeah.
You never know who people are filling up and sealing shut. You just never know.
The man I used to go to his house.
I know.
The guy I used to drive, and I haven't seen it in years, ends up being engaged to this woman that we also ran into
at the Whole Foods.
Yeah, it's so crazy, man. Small world.
It is a small world.
Now if I see her, I'm going to be like, I want to introduce myself. You may have heard about me wanting to seal you shut. I also used to work for Nick.
It's so creepy.
I heard he fills you up. You know, just a little small talk like that.
It's so creepy, man.
What do you think?
That's a really good idea.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think it would go well?
Definitely. Do that.
We have some important shit to get to.
Yeah, we do, man.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Real talk. Oh, yeah. Real talk. Oh, yeah. Real talk. Oh, yeah. Real talk.
That's it. You guys, I have a huge real talk to bring up. You know, we've been watching Breaking Amish now. I'm pretty invested in the show.
It's you should explain the show first, you know.
Well, it's about 5 or 6 episodes, and it's on TLC, which they've had such hits as Here Comes Honey Boo Boo this season, and the Double-Headed Girl show is premiering.
Abby and Brittany.
Yeah, so they're kind of...
But they've had, I mean, a bunch of, you know, My Strange Addiction.
Right, but that, for some reason, because it's not kids, you go, okay, well, those are grown adults consenting to be on reality shows. But I think Honey Boo Boo is really weird. When it's like a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old kid, you're like, really? So then the latest is Breaking Amish, where the premise is these are Amish kids and one Mennonite, and they're leaving their religion, they're leaving the Amish society, and for the first time, and they're going to New York, and they're all going to stay in a hotel together for like a month and get to live in New York City and experience this new world. Well, it turns out Judd Apatow, you showed me, I think he was tweeting that it's bullshit.
Well, I mean, there was some murmurs about it, but the Apatow's the one that caught, you know, my attention, because he obviously, you know, watches the show or had watched it, and everybody was kind of talking about, you know, about the show. And then he's the one that tweeted out this link to an article that said that it seems that very little may be actually true about the show, which is really startling from the reality show. I mean, we know you've been on reality show. I've worked on reality shows. We know that there's produced segments and moments, and sometimes there's contrived things. I mean, even like, you know, like we know what show were we watching, we were like, oh, this is so...
Well, the thing is, okay, I was on Road Rules like in 1998 or whatever, and people always go, is it real? Is it real? And yeah, it was real. In 1998, it was pretty real. The only thing they did that was shady is, like there was a time where Susie and I were walking and our backs were to the camera, and they looped in a conversation that we had at a different time. So that wasn't what we were talking about.
Yeah.
But
it's a common practice.
It's a common, that's a fucking, and even that's not that dishonest. It's like, okay, that could have taken place any time in the show. But what they do contrive are, hey, we're going to all meet up for dinner and we're going to talk about this. And the producers go, okay, well, you guys need to hit these story points. So talk about the upcoming birthday party, or talk about this character. Talk about so-and-so. How do you guys feel about so-and-so?
Yeah.
That is produced.
Yeah.
But,
and a lot of times, you know, a good way to tell when you're watching a sort of contrived or produced segment is when you see like an outing. Outings are very
bullshit.
Often,
yeah, that's because nothing's like, going on.
Hey, today, we're going to go and paint some shit and see if, like, you know, we're going to try to make the city prettier.
Right.
We're going to paint this. You're like,
we're just interested in horseback riding. Yeah, like, no, you're not. Bullshit, well, I remember on Road Rules, because we weren't doing anything, like, they actually cast pretty normal people on my cast, with the exception of Piggy, who's fucking nuts. And I remember one night the producers came into the room in Australia and threw us a bunch of money, and they're like, go out and get drunk. Because there's no story. You guys aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And we were like, cool. And we all got drunk. Mm-hmm. One of us puked and we just had a good time. Like, we didn't fight or cause drama. And that was an episode. Yeah. So now it's more extreme. But okay, so here are the allegations in this article, which, gosh, I don't really, if it's true, it really kind of rattles my cage on it. Because I love reality shows and there has to be some level of integrity in this. Otherwise, the whole thing fucking crumbles. But so here it is. There's rumors or pictures on Facebook of Abe and Rebecca. So Rebecca's the girl who, unfortunately, she had all her teeth yanked at the age of 19. Apparently the Amish, if you they don't have dental updates or they don't like dental updates or dentistry.
Oh.
So if you have cavities or teeth are rotting, they pull them all out. And if, or if you've been bad or something, they take your teeth out. They pulled out this girl's teeth. So there's Abe and Rebecca that they're married or that they have a kid together.
Jesus Christ.
The one guy, Jeremy, they said that he's 32 years old, that he's been out of the order for like 12 or 14 years and that mm-hmm. he's divorced. And they show the divorce documents on Facebook. You can go right. on Facebook and see it.
But I'm saying, but on the show, he's like, I'm thinking of breaking away. Like,
the premise is this is their first time leaving
right.
their homes and seeing the city. And the guy's already been out.
So that's a huge,
huge problem.
Yeah.
Huge. And the Mennonite girl, she's been out too. And the other girl who wanted to model already submitted photos of herself on the internet, which right. that's not such a big deal. Like it's maybe not, she had a friend who did that.
But here's the problem. The modeling and stuff, and she's had a DUI.
She admits to that right. on the first episode.
Okay, but all that stuff and like DUI, the model submission, which is, no one submitted that for. She submitted that herself. Then
I'll even let that go, though.
Yeah, but like, then they show her trying to work an elevator.
I know.
So then you go like, okay, it's somewhat believable if it's real, but now that we know this stuff, it discredits that moment.
I can't, but here's the thing, too, is that like... when you see somebody acting, you know that that's acting. And I feel like so many moments, you're like, God, you couldn't... Like, they have to be fantastic actors to pull off a lot of the stuff that you see. Like, there's... Okay, like, Abe asks Rebecca out on their first date, and she's so rattled by it. Like, you'd have to be
yeah
an Academy Award-winning fucking actress yeah. to pull and that
those,
off.
Those two, by the way, the two, Rebecca and Abe... are two of the people on the show who they claim they'd never met before. And then right. you see them with the kid. And the picture's old, man. It's an older
picture.
It
is an old, but it sucks because her teeth are old in that. Because she gets dentures
right.
in this season and she doesn't have her new teeth. And that's how you can tell it's an old photograph.
Yeah, yeah, it's old.
God, I gotta tell you, it really fucking, it kind of bums me out. Because this is, we watch a lot of these shows and I would really hate to be... completely lied to. Like, I can tell when I'm being lied to in a lot of them. You're like, oh, that's contrived.
Yeah.
But this is fundamentally fucked up, and I hope TLC addresses it, because I need to believe in my shows. You guys can't take this away from me.
Anyway, it's just it's a big thing. Like, especially because we have worked in this field before.
Yeah.
Like, I worked on Trading Spouses. You know.
I loved that show.
There was some... you know, obviously manipulated things. Then there's like shows where the whole premise is manipulation. Like we did My Big Fat Obnoxious Boss and My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance. That whole thing is they're tricking somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The premise of the show is to mislead.
To fuck with people.
To fuck with people. But a show like this, that's not at all the idea yeah. of the show.
It's, but that's what I'm saying. There is a level of integrity in reality program, and I know yeah. a lot of people go, it's not true, it's all fake.
No,
not true. I'm telling you that.
I've worked on a bunch of
yeah, as have I. And I've worked in casting for these shows. I've been on these shows. I'm telling you that there is a level that yeah. they have to maintain integrity. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. And I fear that TLC, this is the beginning of the end. Because if you lose credibility on a show like this, it's very yeah. hard for the public to believe you again.
I mean, I feel like these... learning this about this has really made me just be like, you know...
fuck off!
Yeah.
Get the fuck out and don't come back!
You know what I mean?
See, because even Gigolos,
yeah.
like, we love them,
yeah.
but you can tell...
that is a produced show.
That's produced. They okay. were not friends before the show. You can tell that that is apparent.
They're not. And you can tell... for instance, here's something that's produced, okay? Like, if you're a novice to this... when you see them get together at the bar
yeah, it's bullshit.
And discuss yeah. like what's going on,
yeah.
that is the show's producers are mm-hmm. going, we're going to shoot this thing at the bar.
Talk
drinks,
about what
drinks
happened.
Are on us.
Right.
And just talk. That what it does is it facilitates how to moving along the show. It gives them
moves
a point.
Story. But exactly. I'm telling you that they do not give you a script.
Right.
They do not say, okay, say this.
Right.
That is what they will do in interviews. If you'll notice in interviews, yeah. they'll say, How do you feel about Piggy? And in your answer, say, I feel about Piggy. This is how I feel about Piggy.
That's standard.
That's standard for all reality. And that's the only thing they will tell you is to phrase it such that you're answering the question. Yeah.
And the reason that is done is so that if you just answer, if somebody says, how do you feel about Piggy? And your answer is, I don't really like her.
Right.
And that's what airs. They go, you can't edit that in.
Right.
So that's why you have to put
You have to go,
in.
Well, right now, yeah. I think that Piggy is blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's exactly how you have to say the sentence. Yeah.
So that aside, I mean, and like I said, Gigolos is a Purdue show, but those guys really are doing that. And, you know, they're clearly crushing that tail.
They're crushing all kinds of horse. And I honestly, in my heart of hearts, don't think that all of those clients are, quote, clients. I think that, like, one or two of them are, like, porno actresses or people looking just to be on television.
Well, a lot of them could be looking for that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But they're not, like, genuine clients.
No. And they obviously probably, they get their service probably free of charge.
Yeah, because they're on the show.
Yeah, I get it.
But I'm seriously, babe, like, I was really upset yesterday when you showed me that
article.
You didn't,
but you were very resisting.
I'm so mad.
Well, before I showed it to you, you were like, no. Like, you were, it was like we were in court, and I was the prosecutor, and you were the defense attorney, because you did not want to hear it.
Do you know why? Because sometimes,
really fucking...
sometimes the public doesn't understand that these shows are taped like a year ago. So I remember on Road Rules.
You had all the arguments.
I know, because people would fucking email me on Road Rules and be like, hey, you should really tell Piggy to go fuck herself tomorrow at the challenge. You're like, yeah, dude, we taped this a year ago. So they don't understand. And I thought, oh, well, maybe this is like a real time thing where now they're on Facebook because they've been out of the community, the Amish world.
Yeah, like this episode, this podcast, I mean, I don't know what's going to air, but right now it's October 1st,
right?
2009. So.
2000. Oh, yeah, that's right. We started doing these before podcasts were invented. Oh, you farted. Did you guys hear that?
Mm.
Why didn't you put the microphone to your ass?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking.
And you're picking your nose. Hey, I want to thank you earlier.
Yeah.
I went into the restroom to clip my toenails.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the window was shut and it was nice and hot in there because it's like 103 today.
Yeah.
And you took shit. Mm. And you didn't spray. And you know what's really nice, babe, is that you used all of the toilet paper and you didn't leave me any. That was really cool of you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys are so disgusting.
Well, maybe we should.
Hey, speaking of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I think I know of a way to get down to the issue of who's using the most toilet paper in the house.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted me and they're like, Christina, your method where you roll around your hand, my wife and I call it mittens. Like making toilet paper mittens.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so here's how we're going to get to the bottom of this shit, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to hand you a roll of toilet paper I got right here. We keep our toilet paper in our podcast room.
Yeah.
Because it's across from the toilet. I'm going to take a roll. Mm-hmm. Tommy, you take a roll.
Okay.
And without looking at each other,
mm-hmm.
I want you, let's pretend we just took dumps.
Okay.
And I want you to just take as much as you normally would after a dump right now.
Right now?
Right now. We're going to pretend like we're done shitting.
Okay.
I'm going to put our microphones down. I'm not going to look at you.
Okay.
And just do what you would. So hold on. I'm going to put my mic down for a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to start for a shit. It's for a regular dump, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'm done here, and I'm going to, let's count.
How many squares?
How many squares you just pulled.
Okay, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
All right. Okay, I got my number. What's your number?
My number's 9.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I heard you counting like 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You're lying.
What are you talking about? This is totally.
And then you fold it down. So that's your method? That's how you wipe? Well, so Tommy just folded it. Folder.
I like to have a little thickness. This would be a first wipe. Now, if I had done a first wipe, I might not need the 3 extra here. I might go like this for like a second or third.
So you would pull another 9 to do the second wipe.
No, a 6. Maybe a 6 for the second wipe.
But because I notice what you do too is you leave some squares behind. You like to leave evidence that you pooped.
Yeah, but that's because I want to show you what I did.
Okay.
I want you to know that I did it, you know?
Oh my God, you guys are so disgusting.
Wait, so give me a final paper count. One dump is how many squares?
Well, that's the see. Here's the problem with me though, is that like I have so much body hair and so much on my hole that it really is just like smearing, you know, like icing on my chest or something, you know. So I would say, you know, depending on the consistency, I have to do this a minimum of 4 times. That'd be a minimum.
So nine squares times four is 36. You're looking at 36
squares.
That's
a minimum.
Okay.
And I would say a maximum would be 90.
90 squares. So you're looking at 36 to 90 square.
A wipe, yeah.
Wow.
And then you have how many?
14.
14.
14. But can I tell you something?
Is that 14?
14 squares, yes.
14.
14
squares. Seriously.
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 Really?
Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't do it 4 times. So I'll do a 14 square once. Okay. That's my, here's what I do. I do a
primary
wipe. Okay. The foundation for the cleanup. And then generally, if I have more there on the paper, I'll just take a shower because I'm sick and tired of wiping. So I might do a 14er, and then the second round will be like half of this.
So 14, 7, 21.
21 squares is what I'm looking at.
You do it 2 wipes?
Yeah, because if my theory is if it's more than 2 wipes, why am I smearing shit on my ass? Go take a shower. The shower's right fucking there.
So normal is two rounds of wiping?
2 rounds. And then
do you just walk around with a shitty asshole?
What did I just tell you? If it's more than 2, I get my ass in the shower, and I fucking shower it, man.
Man?
Me,
buddy. I'm telling you, man.
Why don't I don't? Can I tell you why? Because when I was in the Arab world,
yeah,
I was like, do you guys? So they use their hands,
yeah,
and I was like, that's disgusting. And he's like, no, what you guys do is disgusting because you mash the shit against your ass.
I gotta say,
paper.
That's pretty accurate,
right? And after someone told me that, I was like, yeah dude, I think you're right. Like,
especially you got a real hairy bum hole like I do.
Dude, yours is, yeah, because mine's not gamey. That hairy like yours.
Pretty gamey.
So now I'm looking at 14 plus 7 is what, 21 versus your 36.
So you never
minimum.
Go above that? You never go.
No, like I said, if it's, okay, if it's a, you know, a tender moment, if it's something extreme, I might maybe do another 14er. Yeah. But again, if it's really messy cleanup, I'm just going to get in the shower.
So basically, you're maxing out at what my minimum is.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
So it looks like we have our culprit.
Yeah. This is a very interesting game you contrived.
It's called science, Tom.
And it's indisputable.
It's science.
It's indisputable. And I know who is now the wipe leader.
You are, babe. You're the toilet paper champ.
So I have a little surprise for you.
Mm.
So last night,
okay,
I called my folks and it was kind of late and this is a phone call from last night. It's very brief. Okay.
Where was I? I must have passed.
Hello.
Hey, Mom.
Tommy, I'm in bed and your father is asleep.
Oh. Why are you in bed? You're always up super late.
Hey, who wasn't sleeping, Tommy? We're in bed and Daddy's sleeping. He says, why you call so late? We'll talk tomorrow.
You're asleep?
I'm in bed sleeping. You just woke us up.
You're never asleep at this time.
Okay, good night. I love you.
Sorry.
All right, fine.
I love you.
I called and she's, you know, because how long? My mom stays up super late.
Yeah, like she's a night owl.
Nocturnal. Yeah.
And then she wakes up super early.
And that was 11:30 their time, which I was like, "What are you? You're never asleep." I was kind of bummed out. I called back today, and guess who answered the phone? Maria.
Oh my god!
You guys,
shut up!
This is the moment you've
shut
been waiting
your mouth.
For.
Oh my god! It's here. We
it's
got
here.
Maria
now.
Oh my god!
Man, that's so funny.
That's
I should tell you ahead of time. I apologize. I wish we had a better system for this stuff so that we could get higher quality audio. I'm actually on my end is where the audio suffers for a while. So I'm just giving you the heads up. I know it sucks. You don't have to tell me.
Come on. I'm dying to hear it. Let's fucking go.
Dude, let me finish what I'm fucking saying, right? I'm telling our listeners, shit, don't fucking fuck
with
me.
Yeah, but I want to hear it.
I don't care if you want to hear it.
You use all the toilet paper in the house.
Listen, I apologize. I just want you to know that I value putting up high quality shit for you guys. And I apologize it doesn't have the best sound. But this is the best I could do. This is the sister I've been talking about. And I'm excited to.
This is a sister we've all been waiting for you.
Yeah, this is. And we also get from her, we get my mom on the phone for a review of my album.
Oh, no.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
Hello? Thomas?
Yes?
Why are you calling right now? Weston's sleeping. You should call mom on the cell phone.
8:30.
Okay, that was 5:30 our time, 8:30 on the East Coast. And she immediately answers the phone and says, why are you calling right now? That's
right,
my sister.
It's super late.
Yeah.
Well, the baby.
I know, but Weston's sleeping. You got to call him the cell phone.
That's her son, Weston.
The phone fucking rings now, like every 5 fucking seconds.
Well, I didn't know. Why would I know that?
Well, now I'm telling you, don't fucking call this anymore in the evening or when he naps any fucking more. He's sleeping and wakes him.
Uh-huh. There it is.
So, are you right next to him right now?
No. Anyways, how are you guys? How's that being out in Canada? Was it just a nice, like, cultural experience? Did you feel like you really experienced?
She's busting my balls because she texted me to call her. Or she called me. She left me a voicemail, actually. And she said to call her back. But I was in Toronto. I didn't call her back.
Right.
And then, like, a week later, she was like, thanks for not returning my call, asshole. And I wrote to her, I was out of the country. And she's like, where? And I go, Canada. She's like, that's not out of the country. That's not out of the country.
That's not out of the country. She's talking really fast, by the way. She's fired up.
This is when you get the genuine Maria, is when you get her fired up, and she gets more fired up.
I'm out of the fucking country. Really? Let me guess. Fucking Canada? That's not out of the country, Tom.
It is out of the country to be in Canada. It is when you consider cell phone rates. Like, you can't just be calling people from Canada.
Okay, I will give you that much. The rates are ridiculous. I will give you that much. That's about it.
So, how's mom? Because is she making you crazy?
Mom, no, not bad. Mom's good. She's a paranoid mess.
Not when you were...
Now, that's a planned question. I said, how's mom? Because my goal is to get her fired up about mom. You understand?
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't planning on asking that, but I was like, in my mind, I'm like, what can I get her worked up about?
Yeah, you're going to bait her.
I'm trying to bait the right question.
First, well, here's the deal. She's wonderful, and she's totally loving that she is a terrible anxiety mess. I mean, everything makes her nervous. Absolutely fucking everything. Every 5 seconds, it's like, socks, I'm covering, I'm being yelled at, I'm being constantly reprimanded and giving suggestions, quote unquote. Recommendations? Can I make a recommendation? You know, she's like, I never did this with any of you kids about everything, but she's doing, you know, and the other thing is that Weston cries every time she's with her, but that's because she's having a panic attack every time. Really?
Now, but when she came to Chicago, didn't she make you crazy?
The first time. The last time was great. The last time was fantastic. The first time, she drove me absolutely insane.
Why? What'd she do?
She drove me absolutely insane. That's what
totally
she said.
How she talks.
She drove me absolutely insane.
It wasn't what she did. It was more like what she did. I mean, like, really? Okay, well.
Okay.
That's totally it.
Okay, we're getting into real Maria mode. So this, I stayed quiet on because I wanted you to get the full thing. So basically, my baiting worked. By asking her the right questions, I knew I would get an answer. And what she did is she goes on, this is how Maria does it. She goes on like a rant about how my mom made her crazy the first time my mom visited her after she had her son.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fucking guy.
What'd she do?
It wasn't what she did. It was more like what she did. I mean, like, really? Okay, well, when I came to helping, everything was a comment. Everything was a criticism. Everything was, okay, you know how she does those little defensive things? Well, I never did that. Okay, well, if your baby dies, you know, I guess you'll feel guilty for the rest of your life. I'm like, okay, thank you for suggesting that. Like, there was just a comment that everything I did was totally wrong, inappropriate, or basically I'm putting my life, my child's life, and my dog's life in jeopardy. And that, why don't I just put a bomb vest on and, like, blow myself up, because I'm basically on that path with the lifestyle I lead, which is a very fucking healthy lifestyle, if you ask me. I'm sorry, you know, what was her lifestyle? She sits around fucking eating, you know, ding-dong pastries all day long, smokes a cigarette every day, drinks champagne, caffeine, doesn't work out, plays bridge. Let's really compare lifestyles. I think mine's pretty fucking healthy.
That was so vintage.
Oh,
Maria.
My. I honestly, I think I can understand every third or fourth word.
That's not an exaggeration.
First, you should check out my house. It's like kind of lame, but way less lame than like your house.
That wasn't fun. That was me.
I feel so crap.
What?
That whole rant was crazy.
Totally like that.
Oh my god. Okay, do you want more?
Yeah, I love it. I could listen to Maria all day.
Okay, here's more.
So, my child is a perfect help. So when something goes wrong and we worked it out, then you can give me a fucking comment on like, hey, maybe you shouldn't make these improvements and changes in your life. In the interim, shut your fucking mouth and just do what I tell you.
What?
In the interim, shut your fucking mouth and do what I tell you. That's what she said.
My fucking kid. Anyway, sorry, I'm a little aggressive right now.
That's fine. So did you get to hear something about you on that episode of the show?
Okay, so right here, again, I apologize for the audio. I was having some trouble. I was using a headphone thing, and it obviously kept cutting out until I removed it later. But I asked her if she heard the episode where my other sister was on, and we talked about Maria. And
oh no,
this is what she says.
Show.
I've heard a lot of you guys' imitations of me. It's ridiculous. It does nothing like me. You make me sound like some toothless bum that's like having an epileptic seizure or choking on something without teeth. It's horrible. That's nothing like me. I mean, that's horrible. I sound nothing like that. Nothing. And little fucking cartoon characters that people call in, like, you know, you guys do these perfect imitations. Someone, what was it, like, I heard the one where the guy sent in, made a recommendation of, like, a cartoon character that sounded like me. It sounds a lot like you imitating me, which sounds nothing like me. It sounds nothing like me. I don't talk like that, Tom. I don't know where in your fucking mind you think I sound like, I'm not, because I'm not choking on anything. I have teeth, and I'm not epileptic, nor do I have Tourette's syndrome.
This is so great. I can't even believe it.
Nah, I totally saw Hot Dog Princess get sucked in here, and I wasn't invited. I was all, what the lump? So I'm crashing this party. Oh, I was your ugly. What's a solid trail? Somebody help.
She actually sounds just like this fucking
character. I'm sweating.
Character.
I can't take this.
Holy shit.
I can't take it.
Here is, I'm not even at the best part yet.
I'm
not even
I'm
the best
gonna piss.
Part.
Does she know she's being recorded?
Here's the best part. She answered the phone, and when you answer the phone, it says,
right.
This call is being recorded.
Yeah.
And then in like a couple minutes, I'm like, so let me talk to mom. And she's like, oh my God, are you going to record her? She doesn't even realize she's being recorded.
It's so great. That's why she's so authentic. It's
exactly.
So good.
Yeah, that's why she's being.
That's all that.
Why do you think it has no teeth? Why are you putting the teeth?
Yeah, I didn't understand what she kept saying.
Yeah,
you were doing an impression with no teeth, but.
I don't know any fucking words. He's like, you know what it sounds a lot like? It sounds like your imitation of the midgets. Poking, remember? Your little comedy routine with the midgets? Like, That's what you sound like when you talk about me, only it's faster.
I think you go like,
no, I actually am capable. I enunciate my words. I pronounce them perfectly. It's been a long time since someone has said, I'm sorry, what? Can you repeat that? I don't talk nearly as fast as I used to, and I pronounce everything. So I'm getting some shit like, I talk things like,
I think three times in this conversation, I was like, what? What did you say?
Bullshit. Bullshit. Whatever. That's just crap. Anyways.
Hey, is mom there by any chance?
Yeah, she's outside with Tammy. Can you go get her?
I really need to talk to her.
Are you putting her on the show?
What's that?
Are you going to record her for your show?
Yeah.
See, okay. Right then I was like, no. Oh my God, I just put together that she didn't know she was being recorded.
She's like, oh my God, you need to put her on the show.
Because I've never heard Maria that fired up at
you.
That
was authentic.
She was really, I think she was a little upset that we've been, you know, talking about her.
How great was that?
She was fired up. I've never heard her.
So excited.
I've never heard her go off on you like that. It's really great.
I'm so happy about this. I can't even tell you. Okay. And now we're going to go to my mom. My mom just listened to my new album, White Girls with Cornrows. And, I got a first-hand take on her, how she feels about it.
Don't tell her. I just want to talk
I won't
to her.
Tell her. I won't tell her at all. I'm going to tell her something really important.
Okay.
Hey, hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I need to talk to you.
Okay. I'm here.
Can you talk to me? Okay, can you talk to me for a second? Okay, so tell me, did you listen to my CD?
I listened to the whole CD. I was totally impressed with your Spanish. I mean, it was better than mine.
I say a couple words in Spanish for those of you that haven't heard it, that you're thinking like, is this a Spanish album? No, I speak Spanish in like two jokes, very shortly.
I thought you were hysterically funny. The skills to communicate with the people is fantastic. Now, personally, if I'm in the audience and I'm whistling because I like what you do and you scream at me, don't whistle! I will walk out of the show.
No! Some of you who have heard it know that there was an incident that's on the album where this guy was whistling in the audience. Like, and what happened was we were backstage. And I was with the staff, and I was like, who's whistling? Like, because it was a lot. It wasn't like, oh, the show's starting, applause, whistle. It was whistling on every joke of the MC and the feature, and I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah, it's going to fuck up your recording.
So when I got out there, and the guy fucking whistled, I kind of was like, shut the fuck up. And she really takes issue with the fact that I told the guy to stop whistling.
Because nobody's going to tell me how not to express myself. And for you, you know, they have to express the way you say. You are imposing people how to tell you that they like you. And I am totally against that. There is a thing called freedom of expression. And if I express myself the way I like it by whistling, let me whistle. I will whistle three times more. And if you yell at me, don't whistle. I wasn't sure if you were joking or you really seriously saying, don't whistle.
Well, I would throw you out of my show.
You would what?
Throw you out of my show.
Well, you can throw me out of your show because I'm your mother. So how can you throw me out of your show?
I would tell the staff, I'd say, remove that lady from here.
Yeah, and you know what? When the staff came, I would ask them for the microphone. I screamed to the people, guess what? I'm the mother. See how you look. Yeah, you're a winner.
So
not only I cannot whistle like because I like it, but you're throwing your mind out of the show. And then you pass
to... Like my material?
I like everything except the part that you're talking about your masturbation. And then I masturbate every day, and if my wife doesn't give me the hot, then I masturbate, and every day she finds me masturbating myself, and I said... At that point, I couldn't listen anymore, so I don't know what is the rest. And I said, this is a joke. So I have to skip it. I skip it, and the next one said, well, as I was telling you in the masturbation before, so I skip it again, and I said, is there any part that is not no masturbation? And thank God after that you became normal and start talking about different stuff. But boy. So you just told me... You are not for type of audience of my age. I was first all excited. I couldn't wait to tell my 900 people in the Bridge Center to buy your CD. Yeah. I will die if one of these ladies buy your CD and say, I listen to your song. Can you imagine? And they know that my son masturbates every day because his wife doesn't give it to him.
Do you realize, like, how crazy it is for her? Like, you know, she is not... She doesn't talk about anything during...
I'm surprised she knows what masturbation, the word masturbation is.
I know.
I'm very surprised.
That is not up her alley, man.
No.
No, it's not.
Charo does not usually discuss such matters, that's for sure.
That is for sure.
That's not her wheelhouse.
He does it like this, and he does it like that, and it's so much fun. If God gives you the pocket, use it. And I say, oh, my God.
Gives you the pocket, use it.
Is that what you say?
I don't
is
say that.
Is that a direct quote from one of your...
Not at all. I don't know what that means.
Couldn't believe this was literally my son.
You can still recommend it to your friend.
No, estás loco, Tommy. 100 ataques ante ni mi familia ni mis amistades.
She said I would have 100 attacks, like heart attacks.
Aww.
She said, not to my family or my friends.
This is why I never invite your mom to see me perform.
Oh, she'd be horrified.
And your sister's like, why don't I invite my mom to see you? It's like, well, because I don't want to horrify the woman that I love as my mother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
And who loves me still.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite my act.
La juventud.
What do you think?
So, you're a comedian, not for everybody. You are not a Jerry Seinfeld. Ha, 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 this is funny. Ha, 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 this is... F here, F there, kind of getting used to. F, you audience, F, so funny. I mean, it's F, and I'm getting used to the F now. But I'm not going to get used to... Can you imagine my own son talking how he masturbates and I have to listen to that? And I'm going to tell my friend, buy my son, he's so funny, you're going to watch how his life is. And then three songs or three whatever pieces later, I change it, and you said, one thing that I notice I have changed, you know, people improve with the years, I'm getting worse at sex. You know, I started when I was like 17 years old, and now I suck. F suck. And I said, oh my God. First he's masturbating, now he can't say what he's like because he sucks. He should be a master in that.
Man, sorry, I can't even take it anymore.
It's so harsh.
Oh, God.
How do you, can I, honestly, my mom hates everything I do.
Yeah.
Like, really? How do you laugh at that? Because, like, isn't there some part of you as a son that's like, you kind of want your mom's approval? Or, I mean, is it because you... You already have your mom's approval, I guess, right? Like in other areas, so this doesn't bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me.
Oh, okay. Because like my mom hates everything I do.
But I get
it. It gives me anxiety listening to your mother criticize it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm thinking how I would feel if it were my mother criticizing me. And I hate it.
I guess I have a different mentality about it because I think of it in terms of like my mom... first of all, I get a genuine, and it's not like contrived, a genuine... real, authentic, maybe the hardest laugh that I can get out of getting a reaction out of my mother.
Right.
Like a one of like being upset or like that's gross. So for me, getting her to say that what I said was disgusting is really amusing to me.
Right. It's like the best fun.
It's the best thing I can get.
You know, maybe on your next album, you should dedicate one. Like one of the joke titles should be like, this is for my mom.
For my mom,
so
yeah.
She can really, and it's like horrifying.
But it's got to be the grossest one
like
ever.
Shitting, jerking off, and...
Yeah.
I don't know what else. Puking on your shit and puking on your dick.
I shit the other day and then I jerked off and then I puked on my dick and it ran between my legs onto my shit.
This one's for mom.
This one's for mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I could be like, Mom, I dedicated this to you. Just to see her reaction.
Yeah. Poor Charo.
Wait,
do you think though that when you started stand up that your parents were like, our son's totally gonna be like Seinfeld? He's going to tell jokes about the kitchen sink and the water splashing and the sinks. And
I think because my mom is more idealistic. And I think because she's seen me and heard me and known me to be funny without being vulgar at things, that's her, in her mind, her dream is like, oh, you'll be funny like one of those guys.
Yeah.
But
like
then,
Danny Kaye or whatever.
Yeah, or like Seinfeld. Like just like where that's like that non... kind of offensive, but like, you know, well constructed stuff. And then, you know, when I didn't turn out that way, she's like, oh. But I don't feel like, you know, oh shit, I'm disappointing her. I don't feel like that.
You know what's so funny? As comedians, I think we all on some level want our parents to go, that was really funny. That was so great.
Of course.
And so few comics do I know that their parents are like, you know what, kid? You're really good. You're really funny. I think even Seinfeld has a story where his parents were like, well, I gave you an award, huh? Like, he won, like, best comedian of the year or whatever. Yeah. And his parents were like, yeah, well, I got to give it to somebody. Yeah. So, and he's like, great.
They got to give it to somebody.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I know. they all parents.
But they love you. Your parents are like so supportive.
They're totally supportive. Here's the other thing though that I'm hyper aware of is that like what I do, it's not for them. They're not my audience.
Of course, yeah.
Well, I mean, like if you have that mentality, like my comedy is not for anybody our age's parents, basically.
No.
Like, that's not who I'm doing stand-up for.
No, of course.
So, like, when somebody their age goes like, oh, like, I'm not into that, I don't go like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, I know, this isn't made
I know, for me. But it's your parents. You want your parents to, like, think you're awesome.
I know.
I never even gave my dad my CD.
Really?
No, because I'm so, and I talk about him, and he knows the bits that I do about him.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, I don't want him to know.
Well, he's heard it, right?
Yeah, because it's on YouTube, the bits about him, and I cleared it with him before I released the CD. Like, I'm going to talk about you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
But I never gave him my CD because I don't want... And then when I was on Showtime, he was like, I can't find this fucking Showtime. I'm like, okay. Well, I guess you won't be seeing your dog around Showtime.
I gave him your CD.
You did not.
No, I didn't.
Nah. He wouldn't understand.
He would love to see you do stand-up, though.
He has, and he's heckled at the Laugh Factory. Yeah, he's like, oh, bullshit! Like he
about something you said about him?
Yeah, yeah, I told some stupid joke, and he was like, bullshit! Like, he heckled me.
You're like, Dad.
Like, this is not how this is supposed to go, my man.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, he just doesn't know. He's just, he was trying to have fun. He didn't know.
That's the funny thing, is they think, I mean, I had my sister, she came to a show one time. And her friend in the front row was heckling the shit out of me.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I've never been so angry in my life.
I remember when that happened.
Yeah, that was so upsetting. should I play a little more of this?
Yeah, let's hear what else she has.
Okay.
Oh, man, you're killing me right now.
Yeah, you killed me. Oh. But thank God they came, the Mexicans who got married, and then the rest were hysterical.
Now, what happened... What do you think your friends would say if they heard that, though?
Because nobody will talk to me again. Nobody will talk to me again. I never forget when my kids were in school. Let me tell you, when the kids were in school, and one time Jane came in the house and she says, how was your class? And I said, oh, it sucks. So the next day I went to play bridge, and one of the ladies told me something. I said, I know, that sucks. And she says, what did you say? And I said, it sucks. And she says, you know what you're saying? I said, well, my kids say, and you allow them to talk like that? I said, is that a bad word? Well, I'm talking 20 years ago, no?
Yeah.
And honestly, I never heard it before the kids came, and it sucks here, and it sucks there.
In case you guys aren't following, because I know she has a heavy accent, she is telling a true story about when we were younger, because, you know, when you're like a teenager and stuff, and even now, you're like, that sucks, this sucks.
Yeah.
And she, because English is her second language, she picks up on stuff that we say.
Yeah.
And so she picked up on, oh, you say that sucks when, you know, something sucks. But then she started saying it to ladies her age. Like,
at
the time, like 50-year-old women were like, oh, you know, I got stuck in traffic yesterday. And my mom would be like, that sucks. And they were like, excuse me?
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks.
Doesn't know.
And she said, well, that's not the proper way to talk.
She's offended. She's offended by you saying that sucks. Imagine what she would think. If
can you imagine? They would probably kick me out of the club.
Not a recommended square lady. For
total square.
Usually, movies are not recommended for children. This is not recommended for adults. Can you imagine?
Do you think? Were you surprised when you heard that I started having sex when I was 17?
No, nothing surprised me anymore. Maria probably started when she was 12. Yeah. No, God, no, she's here. How old were you?
My God.
Did you hear her?
You did, yes.
Yeah, my stupid sister said, first time I had sex or first time I masturbated? She says in the background to my mother. You're talking about the first time I had sex or the first time I masturbated?
Gosh.
I don't know what she's asking me.
What'd she say?
At what time did you have sex or when did I start masturbating? Ay.
What'd she say?
17.
What'd she say?
She got sex when she was 17.
That's not true.
Tommy says that's not true.
Well, it was a month before. I was 16. It was a month before.
You were 16.
I was 16. I was almost.
She was 16, but she was almost 17, she said. It's 16, a month before 17.
I thought she had sex in middle school, like in sixth grade.
Tommy says you have sex in sixth grade.
What? That's just horseshit.
I want to put you on a speaker, Tommy. This is a family talk. Hold on. Is that a speaker? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, let Maria defend herself. Okay.
Where the hell did you first come up with that fabrication? That's a total fabrication. Complete utter.
You didn't have sex when we at Plymouth Middle School?
What? No. They had sex in Plymouth Middle School.
I thought you were having sex in sixth grade.
No, we touched penises. We didn't have sex.
Ay, por favor. Oye, ¿qué madre hace esto? Oye, esto se está pasando de castaño.
Ay, por favor.
Because Maria's the only person who would make sure to point out we touched penises.
Like, to clarify.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
She's like, and again, I was just baiting there. I knew she didn't have sex in sixth grade.
Of course.
But I knew that she would give
me
an answer.
Right,
she
into fell the
right
trap.
Into the trap. I've been doing this for years.
The bear trap. There you go.
Okay.
Aren't you glad, babe, that years of torturing your sister and your mom have finally paid off?
For our show,
right.
Yes. Like, it's so great.
But you, as long as I've known you, you've been torturing your mom and your sisters.
Since I was a child, yeah.
And now it's for everybody.
It's for everybody. You guys get to enjoy what's been making me laugh for 20 years.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Maria.
When we at Plymouth Middle School?
What? No. They had sex in Plymouth Middle School.
I thought you were having sex in sixth grade.
No, we touched penises. We didn't have sex.
Ay, por favor. Oye, tu madre hace esto. Oye, esto se está pasando de castaño. Primero es una comedy y ahora que es realidad. We touch.
Penises.
Oh. Yes, it's complete loss of respect for me. I would die.
Yeah.
About I have sex and touch here. I do. And I have my phone.
Mom, have I done my impression of Maria for you?
Nothing like me.
Okay, this was a big moment for me, and then we'll wrap this up. I wanted to do my impression of Maria for my mother, because I've already done it for Jane. I did it for Jane, my other sister, when she was here, and Jane was like, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So now for my mom, because my mom's the true test of whether or not it's accurate.
Of course.
I didn't make it.
It's perfect. Okay, and Jane, by the way, thought it was perfect.
The dogs are...
Okay. Oh my god, I totally made dinner, you guys.
Wes
is sleeping. You can't call the house.
Wes
is sleeping. I gotta call you right back. I'm making dinner right now. I'll call you back later.
That's stupid. You're just talking like that.
That's
stupid.
I pronounce some words.
No, you don't.
You
do. You talk Chinese.
That's a totally different language.
Well, okay, yeah. It's your own language. It's 100. Maria, and the best part is she said, "That not gonna let me. That not gonna. I don't want to like that." And she just did it.
Every time I do it to her, she goes, "I don't talk like that. I do not talk like that."
So there you go. Signed off.
And that was perfect.
Signed off.
Perfect.
On the ultimate authority.
What's taking so long? Do those smooth heads give you the orb already or what?
Wait.
Princess Bubblegum's in my seat.
So. Yeah.
Confirmed by your mother, who gave birth to all of you.
Yeah.
She's the authorita.
There's no higher authority.
No.
There's no
I love when she's
authority.
Like, I was masturbating. She's
That's
like,
so,
I you better wait.
So Maria.
I love
oh my God,
mom.
Seriously?
She's only the one who would go like, we touched penises.
I love when your mom she has to talk in Spanish. She's so upset.
That's
my
favorite.
That's
genuine, yeah.
Ay, por favor.
Yeah, ay, por favor.
Ay, pero why? Que lastima. Ay, Dios
that
mio.
That shit has made me laugh for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She really gets upset when she does it in Spanish.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely, man.
You guys have always been like that with her, like very open around her.
Yeah, yeah. We don't talk about
the sisters.
Sex with my mother, though.
The sisters do.
The
you
sisters,
don't.
Hell no.
No, but Jane and Maria will be very open.
But now she's listening to me talk about it on albums and stuff.
My gosh.
And hey, that should be your motivation if you haven't heard it yet. You heard my mother talking about her reaction to the album. Go get it.
Yeah.
So you can hear the whistling and masturbating and talking about getting worse at sex.
See what all the Spanish talking's for.
Yeah, see what it's all about.
What all's going on. They're great, man. I like your family so much.
They're fun.
They're so much fun.
That was fun. Oh, God, that made me laugh so hard. Maria went on a fucking tirade, man.
And I was like, I don't call her. What's the say there?
Fuck off. I think it's the blah.
There was one time when she was pregnant and she was here and she sat on our couch and it was it's like one of the first times we were doing her to her face and you were like and she was fired up and she's like I did not tell you that.
Yeah, she got really
we
fired.
Got her on that.
Oh shit, man.
Yeah, that was good fun, man.
So
that's it, Jeans.
That's it. Let's fucking,
I got nothing else. I'm all tapped out.
Let's wrap this shit up, man.
Didn't we discover a lot today? We discovered that you are the big toilet paper waster in the house. Number
that's
one.
Not, I don't know.
Number
I don't
one.
Know if that's true.
It is true. We just did the math. Maths don't lie.
I think that's the kind of thing where you have to investigate again. You know, like usually scientific tests, they don't do one test.
Okay.
They do multiple tests. You know.
Okay.
So
we learned that breaking Amish
might
not be real.
Mm-hmm.
And we learned that your sister, we got your sister out for our listeners.
It was pretty awesome, man.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I was happy with it, man.
Me too. Good job. Good job, Jeans. Cool jeans.
Cool jeans.
Great job.
Great job, Jeans.
Let's wrap this shit up.
All right.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
What are you staring at?
Nothing.
You're reading something.
I'm not reading anything.
Your eyeballs are on the something.
I'm not reading anything, man. I'm not reading anything. Tell your mommies that you love them.
I like this already.
Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, mommies.
Same time, same place. Next week. More love.
We
check
love
out your mom's you. House podcast.com. Your emails. We read them. Sometimes we read them on the air. Send us your mom's podcast at gmail.com. Many kisses and hugs.
This is a song. I like this. Do I know this? I know this.